This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. Matt Downey's time in digital signage traces way, way back to the days when Premier Retail Networks, or PRN, was by far the big dog in putting screen networks in stores. That gig led him into working directly for one of his grocer clients, and not long after that, he took a big leap doing his own thing, albeit with a whale client to start with. Many years later, that company, Freshwater Digital, is a well-established digital signage solutions provider with double-digit growth every year and a client list that's rich in big companies that are local to Grand Rapids, Michigan, but it also includes some organizations much further afield. Matt and I, in this podcast, get into the roots of Freshwater and the lessons learned. We also go pretty deep into a new area he's going after in a big way, e-paper tags and shelf labels. Mr. Downey, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you, Dave.
We met, God, it's almost 10 years ago now, weirdly enough, on an airplane going to San Diego to a little conference, didn't know each other, and we're sitting in the same row. And I said hi, and you said hi, and where are you going? And it worked out we're going to the same damn thing. It was weird.
It was, because I don't talk to people on airplanes, so it was...
he couldn't get rid of me.
But yeah, it was fascinating that, that we were heading the same place and had so much in common. You don't find that many people in this industry.
No. And you were at that point with a retailer, right?
Yeah, I was actually doing my, I did about a 1 year stint with Meijer, a supercenter retailer here in Grand Rapids. So yeah, I was with them just before I started Freshwater.
So at that point, were you thinking about Freshwater?
So I'd started my digital signage career with PRN. I was with them for about 8 or 9 years.
Oh, right.
Working on the Walmart and Sam's Club accounts and traveling from Grand Rapids to either Bentonville, Arkansas or San Francisco, California. And at the time, we were pitching Meijer to try to take over their digital network. And as things turned out, they said, well, instead of us hiring PRN to do it, why don't we just hire you and have you come in inside and build it from the inside out? And I thought no traveling sounded good, so I joined Meijer to help them build a network.
So for people who don't know, maybe explain what PRN was all about, because they're kind of back, but back in the early 2000s, they were like the big dog in terms of retail networks.
Yeah, we like to say that we invented digital signage at retail, and I think they were, we probably were the forerunners on that. Obviously, grabbing a client like Walmart was a big deal and helped them kind of get things going. But yeah, then they in the heyday, we were doing Walmart, Sam's Club, Best Buy, Circuit City, Costco, a bunch of retailers. So that's where I learned everything I know.
And this was basically hanging TVs from ceilings.
It was God boxes. Yep.
And was it all satellite driven?
Yeah. For the most part, it was satellite going through on the big dish on the roof and then coming down, and they had screens throughout the store. And then toward the end, we were one of the first to do entrance screens, or welcome screens, as they call them at Walmart. And so, yeah, there was a lot of great innovation that happened there. I learned a ton, and we had a lot of fun for a long time.
So you went to Meijer, and then you decided to do Freshwater. And what was the business plan for Freshwater? What did you want to do?
Yeah, I actually laugh, and I've told this story a couple times lately. It was probably the ballsiest day of my life when it comes to business, because while I was at Meijer, I was attending shows and conferences, and I was on several panels. And during these panels, we very often, at the end of the discussion, we asked if there were any questions, and it never failed. There was somebody that owns a something from somewhere, and they were interested in doing digital signage, and they said, how do I start? Where do I go? Other than a Google search, how do you find the best? And of course, everybody's going to say they're the best. And if you talk to a screen manufacturer, they're going to say, well, I don't care what media player you use or software. I just want you to buy a by a Samsung or an LG. And if you talk to a Bright Sign, they're going to say, I don't care what screen you use, but use a Bright Sign player. So the idea came that even as Meyer and his large customers, in order to really try to figure out what you want to do with their digital signage program, you're not a digital signage expert. You don't know what you need to look for. You don't know you just don't know anything. So I thought there was a need for someone who was really kind of an independent voice and knew something about the industry and was able to guide clients, whether they're small mom and pop pizza shop up to a major retailer, on what they should be looking for, both in hardware and software. And then it kind of evolved into helping, being kind of a guide, strategic guide to help them make sure they're making the right choices. So I was at Meyer for a year. And during this time, as I was building a new network, I found out how little, you know, how much there was to know. And seeing it from a client side, I walked in one day after more than a day of thought and told Meyer I would like to quit and start a company, and I'd like to sign them up as my client, and here's how much I could save them. And it was going to be either really, really good or really, really bad. And fortunately, that guy got the support from Meyer, and so shortly thereafter, I started the company and then realized that I had bitten off quite a bit. So there was a big learning curve, but I think it's working out.
So did you start at the kitchen table?
I did. Actually, I had a home office in my little house here in Grand Rapids, and started making some frantic phone calls to some folks that I had known in the industry that I trusted, because I was promising, you know, I had committed to doing content and content management. And with just me, I'm not a content person. I don't know if I could open some of the Adobe Suite products, let alone it. So talked to some folks. Jeremy Gavin at ScreenFeed is one of my longtime best friends, and he was a huge help. I actually contracted some of his creative team to do some of the work, and there are some other people I knew around the country that had different specialties that I tapped into and just kind of 1099'd them until I got to the point where I knew it was time to start hiring my own folks.
Mm-hmm. And at what point did it, well, I guess in certain respects, it got serious right away because you had a client, but at what point did it sort of feel like a real company?
That's a great question. I'm not sure. I mean, obviously I had Meyer.
You're still waiting?
Let me know when it happens. You know, I had Meyer, and honestly, going into it, I thought, you know, I'd always kind of wanted to have my own company and try this kind of a thing. And I'd done a few other smaller companies here and there and dabbled in it, but nothing where I, you know, bet my mortgage on it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and honestly, when I started, I thought if I do this for a couple years and I, you know, I can get a taste of it. And if it doesn't work, I'll go back and get a job with someone or go back to Meyer. And if it does, then it will. So I say probably after I survived the first contract and worked on getting a renewal and started adding some additional clients, it felt like I might have something here. And because our message of helping people make the right decisions and strategy was very well received. So I thought maybe we might have something here. I just need to get some smarter people to work for me other than myself and see if we can really do something with this.
So I've been down to your offices, not your new place, but I think the previous one, and you had, I don't know, like a dozen people there, and you had creatives, you had applications developers, you had like a lab where you were testing product and so on. Is that kind of still where you're at, where you've got this mix of people?
We do. We're actually two buildings since where you came. You think you were in our first building, and we were a tenant in a larger building. Since then, we're actually now own our own building. Ooh. And we're kind of the same mix. I've got a little, everything's just a little bit larger. We've got a creative team with a great creative director that's got some great abilities. In this building, we've got a full video production studio, dedicated space now with lighting and sound and everything, which is something that we didn't have before. Our lab is greatly expanded. Probably have about a 5,000 square foot lab with its own entrance, and we're able to really do some fun stuff over there and have room to kind of stretch out and actually have our clients, when they come visit us, they come into that entrance, and we have conference space, and we kind of walk them around the room and show them everything from touch screens to holographic to video walls and everything. So some of the other kind of unique stuff that we bring in and out. So we've expanded our development team a little bit. We've got now dedicated customer service team with a NOC that kind of monitors and helps our clients make sure the networks are up and running. And our team of account managers has grown because as we have an account like Meijer or Spartan Nash or some of our other larger accounts, we put a dedicated account person on that that spends some time in their office and some time in ours. So,
So how many people do you have now?
17.
Okay.
So it feels like a lot, but
yeah. Well, it's a lot of mouths to feed. I'm sure you wake up on a Monday morning and go, okay, let's make this happen because I got a lot of people relying on me.
You know what? It's something that you don't realize when you think about starting a company and then you think, I want to have a team of people. It's a huge responsibility. And it's
a responsibility
I don't take lightly because I've got 17 families, mortgages, and college educations. And if I screw things up too badly, they're all at risk. So that's not many people look at it that way. And it's very true.
Oh, yeah. It pisses me off when I read stuff saying, you know, somebody got let go from a company or people got laid off and there's some degree of amusement over that. And I'm thinking there are people going home and telling their little kids, mommy or daddy's unemployed.
Yeah.
So we're not going on summer holidays or something. It's like it's a huge responsibility.
Right. Absolutely.
Man. So would you call yourself primarily, or would you call Freshwater a digital signage solutions provider, or kind of how do you position yourself?
Yeah, that's exactly it. When somebody asks what we do, I say we do digital signage. And that digital signage has kind of grown in kind of what its meaning is since we've, you know, as Freshwater has matured, we're 8 or 9 years old now. And as we've kind of grown, we've kind of not adapted or not pivoted, but kind of modified to meet both what our current clients are asking for and what we're seeing as opportunities and needs in the industry. But And we've had a few deviations that we've tried, we've dabbled in. I actually bought a company a couple of years ago that was in kind of a arcade style video game bar thing. And I thought it was a great idea. And it was
that that whack thing you whacked or whatever?
And it was the ring swing where you tossed a ring and it swung up and I'd hook it onto a horn or something like that. Kind of the thing you see then. And, you know, I justified it because it had screens on it and we were going to kind of turnkey it. But I learned pretty quickly that I wasn't a product development person that needed, you know, had experience in doing things overseas or having things manufactured like that. So it was a mistake. It was a fairly expensive mistake, but a mistake that we learned a lot from. And we learned, I guess the biggest thing we learned is let's make sure we stick with things that are in our wheelhouse and focus on what we do best, which is digital signage, communicating with people for the use of digital.
Mm-hmm. And your lab, even when I was down there, that's like 4 or 5 years ago, it looked like you were bringing in a lot of stuff and trying things out. Is that kind of part of the charge is to try to stay on top of what's going on?
We do. So it's kind of a twofold. We have current clients that come in every few months, usually at least every 6 months, and we'll have a meeting. We've got a large conference area in there and just come in to see what's new. And that could be, you know, not that they're new, but they're new to some people. Directional audio is something that we have in there. We've got something called lift and learn where it's, you know, it's triggered. And there's been a lot of people have done it. You lift something up physically and it triggers a screen. We had LG's, their transparent LED light, the large transparent thing in here for a while, touch screens and a couple different iterations of that. So we'd like to have a combination of kind of the cutting edge new stuff. We've actually had some stuff that has absolutely no opportunity in retail, but we brought it in because we thought it was cool. And some of our clients have had us build one for them to test. But mostly it's just an opportunity to come in and experience the different things available in digital signage.
Is that vertical retail what you've focused on or are you branching out?
Initially, obviously with my background with Perea Retail Networks, PRN, that was, and before PRN, I was actually spent some time with product development in grocery. So I started out because that was my comfort zone. But I would say now most of our clients are not retail by quantity, by sales volume. There's still some big hitters in retail, but we're expanding out. We've had a lot of museums. We've done some medical, some hospitals out east. We've done some car dealerships. We've done a lot of corporate offices, corporate communications. So we're really looking, doing most verticals.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
And you're in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's, you know, it's a well-known city and everything else. I know when I drove down from Toronto to Grand Rapids, after a while, I thought, dear God, this has taken a long time. I thought it was just outside of Detroit, and I discovered otherwise. Is it difficult at all to get people out to Grand Rapids, or is there enough going on just in the Michigan, Detroit to Illinois area to, you know, build out a pretty good business?
It's tough to get the people to come to Grand Rapids in December and January, that's for sure. But Grand Rapids is the second biggest town in Michigan, and it's one of the fastest growing towns in the country. So the secret's out a little bit. We're growing. We've got a ton of new industry here. The hospital and health industry is huge. We've got some of the best hospitals. It's growing. We're 2.5 hours from Chicago. We're 2.5, 3 hours from Indianapolis. We're 2 hours from Detroit. So it's kind of a nice Midwest location to be. And there are, Grand Rapids has been blessed with a lot of very, very successful large companies that people don't realize. There's probably $6 to $10 billion companies right in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, you got Amway there. You got Meijer.
Amway, Meijer, Spartan Ash, Wolverine Worldwide, which is a big shoe company. They make a bunch of different shoes. Steelcase Furniture, Herman Miller's Furniture.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So there's a bunch of them, and most of them, fortunately, need digital signage. So we've done a lot of hunting in our backyard, but we've also, through some word of mouth and some, you know, with help with people like you, we've gotten some national projects as well that have been nice.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of corporate, what are companies doing? Is it the same old stuff, or are they starting to get kind of interesting about how they communicate with employees?
Kind of both. So the biggest thing we've got is a new company will say, we need a way to welcome our clients and our visitors to the lobby. So that's kind of the same old thing, but they're looking for new ways to do it. So one of the things we did for one of our clients out in California is they wanted a video wall, but they wanted it to be able to be interactive. So rather than doing a touch video wall, we actually designed a system where there's a separate touch screen that you know, during the attract loop, the video wall plays video wall content, talks about, you know, the area and welcome. Then if you interact with this touch screen that's separate, it immediately drives the video wall. So you can have on-demand information on that large video wall without having to do a huge touch overlay or other opportunities. So there's things like that where people are thinking, okay, I've seen, you know, people have a 55-inch screen in their lobby, but what else could we do? So I would say the messages are pretty consistent, but the way they're doing them, that's the benefit of having the lab is we have people come in and see different ways to do things. Hmm. We're also doing a lot of employee communications. So when you get behind the reception desk, they're putting things in, you know, the cafeteria and in meeting areas and workplaces that are just communicating messages about what's going on in the company.
You talked a bit earlier about pivots in the company. And one of the things that I found interesting is you guys sent me a note several months ago that mentioned you were getting into electronic shelf labels and, you know, e-paper tags, that sort of thing. And what sent you down that path? Because it's kind of digital signage, but kind of sort of it's its own thing in most respects.
Yeah, it is. I mean, in the truest form, it is digital and it's signage. So it fits in. Kind of, I talked earlier about wanting to stay within our wheelhouse. And and so when we thought about it, we said, well, this could possibly work. And it's something that, you know, I saw. I mean, I remember seeing the really bad, ugly ones at Kohl's in the shoe department many, many years ago. And they were the LCD, kind of the look like your old high school calculator type style. But the idea I thought was cool. So we did some research on it and had a couple of our clients that were interested in learning more about it. So we were surprised. I guess what made me decide to jump in it, because it is something that I'm incredibly excited about. And I think there's a huge, huge opportunity, especially in the United States with it, is what really kind of made me feel there's an opportunity was the difficulty at which information was available. It took us, no kidding, 2 years to be able to get pricing and information on product line and availability and how these darn things work. It took us 2 years to get a good understanding of exactly how you do these things. They're all built overseas, and most of them are built overseas. There are some manufacturers here, but getting pricing out of these folks and understanding what equipment's needed and how they operate on, you know, is it Wi-Fi? Is it Bluetooth? Is it near field? What updates these things? So we spent 2 years. We figured, well, if it took us 2 years to figure this out, there was a pretty high barrier to entry for anybody else, especially a direct customer. You know, if the automotive store wanted to do it, there's no way they're going to be able to figure it out.
Is that because these are companies that are run by engineers and they haven't got a clue about marketing, or are they, you know, holding all their information really close to their chest?
You know, I don't know. I think there's a combination of both. I also think, I just don't think that they've tried or spent much time thinking about how to market their product. I think they have their, you know, digital tags are very prolific in Europe, but they just haven't made it to the United States yet. So I just think they don't have the sales process down. And so when somebody calls and was ready to buy, they're not ready for that. So it's taken us some time, but we finally broke through and we're really excited about, and the opportunities I think are limitless here.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I was in South Africa 5 years ago and went into a grocery store, and in South Africa, this whole grocery store was filled with electronic shelf labels. And certainly when I've been over in Amsterdam, I've walked into stores and there they are. And it seems fairly pervasive in other parts of the world. Yet in North America, you mentioned the United States, it's the same up in Canada. They just don't even exist.
Yeah. You know, it's a big investment, especially for someone like a grocery store, or even, more so for a store like Meijer, who's, 200,000 square feet with 50 to 100,000 items. Imagine, what the cost is. But there have been studies that have shown, and that there is an ROI. And if you really start thinking about the savings in labor, the savings in freight and printing, and the sustainability of them, and then you start thinking about beyond that, about the ability to adjust your pricing real time. So surge pricing, or things like that. That's why I don't want to do it. There's certainly some unique opportunities, but it's a huge investment. So
what is the investment? We were talking the other day, a tag is like $5 to $7.
Yeah. Small tag, the kind that go on a typical retail shelf are in the $5 to $8 range. And again, quantity is everything. So the more you buy, the cheaper it can get. And the company we're dealing with actually has up to a 12.2 inch tag now, but a 12.2 is somewhere between $125 and $150. So even that's reasonable. And there's really not a whole lot other infrastructure that you need. You need an access point because he's running kind of their own network. And then there's a licensing fee for that access point. But other than that, the beautiful thing is they don't require any power because they run on batteries. The batteries last 5 to 7 years.
Even the bigger ones?
The bigger ones, yeah. And bigger battery. And it's all kind of depending on how often you update. So these things, they don't play video. That 5 to 7 year life is based on a once a day update. So, because the way E-Ink works is it only uses electricity when it updates, and then it's actually kind of there. So it's kind of cool. And they don't require data. So, you don't have to run power. You don't have to run data to the location. You can just hang them and sail. So
how do they update if they don't require data connection? Is it like Zigbee or something?
It's similar. So the access point, an access point will cover about 20,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. So we've got one access point in our whole building here. We've got tags on our office doors. We've got tags in the lab and a lot of different places. And this access point kind of creates its own Wi-Fi network. And when he wants an update, it pushes it out to the screen, to the tags, and they take the update. And you can set the tags to check for updates as frequently as you want, once a minute or once a day. So
what's the process right now? Like if let's say a big ass grocery is interested in ESLs, are they in the same kind of boat where now they've got to go find somebody and they can look it up and they can, they'll get the names of companies, but do they talk to integrators or do they have to hopefully find somebody like you?
Just call Freshwater. That's easy. No, one of our clients, that's kind of how we first got into it, is they said, hey, we saw this over in Europe somewhere and we're interested. What can you do some research on it? And we said, sure, no problem. Then we realized that it was a little more difficult than we thought. So, for a retailer who says, I want to do digital tags, they need to find an integrator because E-Ink does not sell directly. So you'll need to find one of these other companies that makes tags. And like I said, most of them are in overseas. And then they're going to have to become students and become educated on this process, because it's not easy. It's not like calling LG and saying, I want to buy a screen, and they send you one of the 300 distributors in the country, and you buy your screen and have somebody hang it. There's a degree of expertise in it. Now, there are a couple companies that are becoming more integrated service here in the States. So right. I think you're going to see there's actually a pretty big company that is working with the same company we are, that's focusing on a couple verticals. And there, I think you're going to see a much more common place of having digital tags. I think it's coming. We're just quite a ways behind Europe.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just retail, though. I mean, the ESLs are just about price and all that. But you were telling me that you're finding a lot of opportunity in areas that maybe nobody would really think about e-paper being used in, but when you start to look at it, actually make a lot of sense.
Absolutely. So kind of the way I looked at this when we decided to get into it, kind of the way, let's look at digital signage, the screens. The way that life cycle kind of works is, people start hanging a flat screen and, in a store, and everybody says, well, it's kind of cool. And then everybody starts hanging flat screens. And then a retailer will turn it 90 degrees and put it in portraits mode. And everybody says, wow, that's really cool. And so that makes its way kind of through the industry. But in this, in digital signage, it really kind of started mostly in retail. And then it's trickled out to corporate offices and restaurants and, everywhere now. The YMCA has screens in there. So what I thought is, because the United States is so far behind, and I knew retail was going to catch up, I said, well, let's leapfrog that. And well, certainly we do support retail and that we are focusing on that. But we looked at about 9 or 10 other verticals that we thought could really benefit from these. So we're talking, having a lot of conversations and have had some installations in places like hotels, car dealerships, warehouses, offices. We're putting, people, like I said, in our office, we have door tags, and you're able to update a message or a motivational saying or announcements. We've got tags.
You're fired. Pack up and leave, buddy.
Yep. Your key doesn't work. So we've looked at a bunch of different verticals and identified those. I mean, imagine a retirement place where you've got older folks and, some of them have a hard time remembering their room is 309. So you can put an icon on there that they remember, just look for the rocking horse. Or even having tags inside the residences that, some of the tags have an LED light on them that flashes. So you can remind them to take their medication. It's 10 o'clock. It's time for you to take your purple pill or whatever. And the beautiful thing is they can be controlled, remotely or from anywhere, because it's all over the web. And one of the most recent ones that we've been talking to are schools. Unfortunately, with some of the stuff that's been happening in schools, the ability to communicate in the classroom when there's an emergency situation, and whether it be the administration office or a police officer on the outside, is the ability to update these tags saying stay in your room or it's all clear or whatever. So you start thinking about it, and I get really excited, and it's just kind of limitless on where these fairly inexpensive tags can really provide a value.
So in something like a classroom setting, you could in theory have a 32-inch display that could do that sort of thing, but it's got a pretty big footprint. What would be the argument instead to just use something that's e-paper?
Well, like I said earlier, the biggest benefit of e-paper is it doesn't require data or power to the location. So you can literally hang a tag and
put it where it needs to be.
You hang it on the inside of the classroom, and you can put one on the outside of the classroom.
Okay.
And the beauty of doing it on the outside, my son's at Michigan State, and he said, I need to get these here because we have classes that on Tuesdays meet in this room and then on Thursdays meet in this room. If you put on the outside of the room, class now is in this hall, or we've moved or whatever. So inside and outside, and the benefit is, first of all, the low cost. I mean, you're looking at $30 or $40 for a medium-sized tag versus, a couple hundred for a screen.
Right.
In the infrastructure, so.
Yeah, you get into a whole meeting room sign solution, and it starts to get pretty expensive.
It does, yep.
And
the nice thing is we've got our developers here have worked. It's an open API or fairly open API, so we can tap into virtually any type of data, whether it's we've got some that are updating with a spreadsheet and others that are tied into their POS or their their systems that automatically update based on whatever triggers that we want. So we've done a pretty good job of being able to customize these solutions to work with a lot of different data sources so that it's not a manual process that becomes overwhelming for the user.
The other project you mentioned to me when we were chatting that I thought was really interesting is basically replacing sticky notes in places like research labs.
Yeah. So we have a client who has a research facility that, you know, has different experiments or tests going on. And right now they're using sticky notes. They were looking at putting mini whiteboards, like, you know, 3-inch whiteboards, so they could just wipe it off. And so we talked to them about putting a tag up that is they're allowed to. Now they type in the information on their iPad or their computer, or it's just automatic. And it says when this was fed or when this test was done or whatever. So it's certainly, you know, more sustainable, and it's real time, and it is able to provide some really good information.
Yeah, you start to think of logistics and all the pallets and things that have a piece of paper taped on there and something scrawled on it, and how that can go wrong very quickly, and that you could send around barcodes onto the e-displays, I assume.
Absolutely. You can do barcodes. We actually have a client now who has a manufacturing facility that it's an assembly, so the product starts on a cart, and this cart goes all the way through the assembly process. And when it's done, it's a finished product, and it goes through these different points in the manufacturing process that's kind of a checkpoint. And right now, I mean, this is a Fortune 500 company. They have people manually looking at them and punching it in something or scanning a barcode manually, where through near-field communication abilities or RFID, you can have an RFID tag on the back of this e-tag that says what it is, and as it's building, it's updating, and it's updating real-time on a system. So, yeah, there's another example of just amazing amount of opportunity with these tags.
Yeah, no kidding. So if people want to find you, you said whatever the problem is, they need to call Digital or contact Freshwater. How do they find you?
Websites, fwdigital.net, or look me up on LinkedIn, and we'll be glad to talk to you. So we love digital signage, and it's what we do. So we love talking to new opportunities.
Cool. All right. Thanks for your time, man.
Dave, it was a pleasure.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.